97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Sorry, I would have been in here sooner, but a goose was chasing me down the hall. Kim, you guys better stay in the studio to be safe.
You grab it by the neck and throw it for us?
Your bird phobia. I had no idea you two were afraid of birds.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Now we're finding
groups
out.
Groups of birds is really the bigger issue for me.
Welcome in. If you're just joining us, we were talking about this last hour, and it dominated the online chat and even the text line, 314-241-9797. We're talking about all these different issues from around the world and, you know, different issues of politics and sports and all this stuff, and all people want to talk about is the fact that a goose is chasing people. And all I suggested was, you're bigger than the goose, but apparently it doesn't matter. The size of the bird doesn't matter if you have a bird phobia. I guess it's like the size of the spider doesn't matter. For me, I'm afraid of snakes.
So if it were a small snake,
so it doesn't matter. Like I'll step on a very small snake. But a bigger snake, I don't hang around to see if it's got the diamond shaped head or not. I usually am either getting a hoe or a rake or something to dispatch it.
You would step on a small snake? I would run.
Oh, that depends on how small it was. I'm just saying. I mean, people have different fears. I didn't know there was that big. I knew people had fears of some birds, but I didn't know people were that afraid of geese until this conversation. So it's been enlightening. So welcome in. If you've got your 2 cents, you're welcome to share them there on online or, of course, on the text line. 314-241-9797. Our You Suck guy is back, too, right? If it's a guy or a gal, didn't you
we
say?
Don't know. Please okay. Identify yourself.
Yeah,
but yes,
you,
that was the first message we received this morning. You guys suck. Hey, suck person, because we don't know if it's a guy or a gal. Thank you
and
for watching.
All of it is anonymous when these texts come in for the most part. So we're unless somebody shares their name, we don't know who's texting us, which some of our haters apparently are enjoying that anonymity. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit too much.
That's true. All right, coming up, we got Tanya J. Powers. We're going to check in with her. She's reporting on a story out of Texas. Now, there's been a lot of discussion at the university level about getting rid of DEI, and some of these policies at corporations have been changing around these issues where you recognize that it's, didn't earn it is what DEI stands for, basically. But there's a discussion down there on banning DEI in the schools, and there, of course, somebody sued over it and they're going to court. So we're going to talk to Tanya about how that case is going. A little later, we've got Jimmy Failla of Fox Across America. We got him confirmed this morning. Todd Pyro, like some of these Fox stars are apparently either off this week or they're doing double duty, because Pyro is out today. We would normally have him here this morning. Tomorrow, I think maybe Shannon Bream is off tomorrow, so I don't know what she's got going on. Maybe she's recording some special or something. So we're filling in. Senator Eric Schmidt is going to be with us this morning in the 8 o'clock hour. If you've got some burning question you'd like us to ask the senator, who I think has been doing a fantastic job with challenging the mainstream media in some of these interviews, we're going to get him on here at 8 o'clock. You can send us your text messages that if you've got suggestions at 314-241-9797. I'm going to start calling that the Goose Hotline. Just check us out there on the Goose Hotline. How about that? All right, time for us to get to some of our top stories. Hit it, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
They are rebranding and renaming some of the athletic teams here. They're introducing today the SIUE 66ers.
Please, 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 please explain this to me. What's wrong with a cougar? On behalf of older women everywhere, I'm asking that question this morning. They're changing the name of the SIUE mascot. Why? Why?
I saw the other day there was a tree lighting ceremony for the Christmas tree in some dopey mall.
Yeah, sure.
But it said tree lighting ceremony, and they were careful not to say the word Christmas during the whole ceremony.
No.
Why?
Yeah, why? Hey, by the way, Trump even mentioned this last night when he was on the campaign trail in Pennsylvania. Like you said, remember when I came into office in 2015? They were 2016. They were trying to stop people from saying the word Christmas, and we brought Christmas back to America. That was David Spade on his podcast yesterday, saying he went to a tree lighting where they wouldn't say the word Christmas. What in the world is going on?
If you think about what he did in 2021,
yeah.
He didn't try to run again. He just tried to not leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did try this before, and now he got away with that, pardoned all the people who helped him try to. He tried to just not leave. So why wouldn't he try it again?
There's very little joy in Joy Reid. Can I just tell you, now she's suggesting that Donald Trump's just not going to leave the White House this time around. Is there no depth to their ability to go low? I don't think that there is.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to Jasmine Crockett jumping in the Senate primary in Texas?
Well, she's a low IQ person. I can't imagine she wins. Maybe she'll get the Democrat nomination, but I think it's a gift to Republicans.
Yep. Amen. Amen, Mr. President. He's on the plane on the way to Pennsylvania. They're like, hey, what do you think about Jasmine Crockett?
Hey, you know
how CDS grad.
We talk about how there's all these different versions of Jasmine Crockett,
there are.
Hood Jasmine, or like the lawyer Jasmine, or yes, MICDS yes. Jasmine. It's kind of like Barbie, you know, like lawyer Jasmine, and she has, you know, her new accent of the day, basically, depending on where she is. So I wonder what campaign Jasmine will look like. What will she sound like?
It'll depend on what audience she's talking to.
You know what? You're right.
It absolutely will. I mean, maybe she's going to. Well, here's what I want to know. Will she take on a Hispanic accent at some point? Don't you want to know that? I mean, because there's a huge Hispanic population in Texas, and she's going to have to appeal to them somehow. And I don't think that the hood language is going to appeal to them. Maybe I'm wrong.
So does she walk out to the crowd and say, hola, una cerveza, por favor?
Well, maybe. Offers them a
Jasmine
beer.
Crockett.
I don't know. She could. Or you know, I mean, she's learned from the absolute best.
You know, I'm not sitting here as some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette. I'm sitting here because I love him and I respect him and I honor what he's been through and what we've been through together.
Together?
She just liked it. That's Hillary Clinton back in the 90s when she was trying to defend her husband from, you know,
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, but
yes.
I lied. I actually did. I do not know how to do accents, by the way. That's the only, I think that's all
great.
I know how
I
to say.
He was right here.
Is that it?
I know. Thank you, Ethan. Jerk. That's the only words I know how to say in Spanish are that, and that was.
Oh, about for a beer?
I think. Mi amo, yeah. Right? Is my name is? Hola.
Hola.
Adios.
That's good. Cerveza.
Yeah, cerveza, that? Yeah.
Mas frio.
I'm not even, you know, it's not like I'm some huge beer drinker, but I sadly do know that phrase.
Yeah, I used to taunt a roommate in college by telling him that when they dropped me into Grenada in the air assault, that I'd be able to order a cold beer and a ham sandwich. That after four semesters of Spanish, that was what I was going to be able to accomplish when I landed, which just drove him nuts because he was that then and remains today the probably the most liberal individual I know. So even back then, I was taunting liberals.
You know,
it's been a long and glorified career.
I like how you're. I was looking at your ex the other day. I like how it says your opinions are your own. So get over it.
Thank you. No sensitivity training around here. Here we go again. Although somebody demanded that on the text line the other day. Good luck with that.
By the way, just really fast, someone on the text line said, Mark, a goose can strike you if it's playing hard enough and it can break a bone. I wouldn't mess with them if I were you. So.
I'm not afraid of a goose.
How fragile are your bones?
I'm not afraid of no ghost. Who's afraid of a ghost? I'm not afraid of
Mark,
a ghost.
Is that really how you broke your ribs? Chasing a goose?
Yeah, that's it. That's how they just got me one at a time. I just stood there while they broke each individual rib. All right, quick break here. We got Tanya J. Powers calling in right now. We'll get to her after the break.
With your help, we saved America. That's what happened. We saved America. In the most important election victory possibly in the history of our country, is going down. We're a country that is being scoffed at, laughed at all over the world.
And you saved
us. We won all seven. Thank you, Charlie.
That was the president last night in full campaign mode up in Pennsylvania, going off script and talking to people in the audience and all of that. But, you know, I think the president would argue that when he came back into office, you did see a dramatic turnaround in the reaction from corporations and in some cases institutions of higher learning to, I don't know, stop DEI programs and things like that. And in some cases, there were laws passed, like in Texas. Tanya J. Powers with us this morning from Fox News Radio. Tanya, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what was the hearing all about yesterday?
Well, the hearing was actually set for today.
Oh.
And it has now been pushed back until next Thursday.
Okay.
But this is one of those things we wanted to go ahead and talk about because it's one of those cases that we're going to hear a lot about. It's been kind of compared to the way that the Don't Say Gay law was handled in Florida when it was pushed back against and challenged in court. We could see the same kind of resolution in this one that we saw in that one. This is also, you know, not to be expected to be, you know, the only state that this kind of thing is happening in. Texas passed Senate Bill 12, which bans DEI programs and the discussion of LGBTQ plus identities in K-12 schools. There is a group of Texas LGBTQ and teacher advocacy groups, students, and a teacher who are asking a Trump-appointed judge in the Southern District of Texas there in Houston to stop all Texas public K-12 and charter school districts from enforcing parts of that state law. The state law has also kind of been dubbed the Parents' Bill of Rights, just to give you an idea of a little bit more about what it does. It requires schools to publish course content, distribute parental opt-in forms for health services and sexuality lessons, and to create a process for parents to report violations of the law. The folks who are suing over this say that it lacks clarity and it strips students of their First Amendment rights, which is you know, the right to receive information and gather, you know, something that, you know, that's pretty plain in the First Amendment of the, you know, especially the gathering part. But that's one of the things that we're probably going to hear a lot more about. The Florida lawsuit over the Don't Say Gay bill was ended in a settlement that, you know, where Florida had to clarify and narrow the provisions in that law. We could see the same kind of resolution for this one, but it's, you know, it's part of the, you know, probably what's going to be a years-long battle over, you know, privacy and things like this, as far as what we're seeing in the Texas case. I expect this to be, you know, making national news, especially in the next month or so.
Tanya, this wouldn't have any impact on some of the groups that a lot of these schools have, like the Gay Straight Alliance, for example, because my issue is that some of these schools or maybe universities, I know they wouldn't be K-12, but some of these schools were allowing groups like, you know, say the Gay Straight Alliance, they could meet on campus, maybe they even got funding, but then when a TPUSA chapter tried to open up, they said no.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because this Senate bill actually bans programming related to DEI. It prohibits employees from talking about gender identity and sexual orientation. It also bars clubs based on gender identity and sexual orientation. So to kind of answer your question, yeah, this bill does deal with that.
Wow. So this is not it's called the Parental Bill of Rights, but it's not like a parental notification. It doesn't even get to that point. It doesn't say you have to notify them first. You're just not allowed to do it.
They do have to. The part of the law is they distribute parental opt-in forms for health services and sexuality lessons. So, yeah, they do have the option to opt in or not as part of this law.
All right. So now the court hearing, you say, has been continued till next Thursday?
Yeah, we're going to keep an eye on it when this happens next Thursday. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things that I think a lot of people, you know, will kind of have on their radar.
Sure.
And I'll be watching this case out of Texas for sure.
Probably another one headed to the Supreme Court, potentially. They've got their hands full. Yeah. All right, Tanya, thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you.
Yep. Take care. Yeah, that's interesting. So when this law passed, the lieutenant governor down there, Dan Patrick, who I think is just fantastic, said that he issued a statement saying parents are the single most important factor in the success of a child. I have championed public education since I entered elected office. And in recent years, Texas parents have grown frustrated by the public schools' woke indoctrination of their children's education. I prioritized SB 12 because parents must be empowered to have even a greater role in their children's education. With more parental input and empowerment, Texas students are going to be better served by the public education system.
I just keep going back to the pandemic 2020 and how the silver lining and all of that was that parents' eyes were really opened. And because students were forced to learn virtually, parents, in many cases, got to see what their kids were learning, the type of stuff that was being given to them for assignments. And they started really pushing back. And they felt bolder, I believe. They were more willing to address the concerns they had with their schools. And gosh, I mean, amen to that. I would never want to go back to the pandemic and deal with that all again. But that is something good, I believe, that came out of that.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about how people had their eyes open during all of that, to be honest with you. I mean, it seems like it was so long ago, but for the first time, some parents were witnessing through Canvas or whatever else it was, the kids' curriculum. Mm-hmm. And it's out of sight, out of mind. And for years, the NEA and the evil forces at work here, yes, I did say evil forces, have worked to shield this from parents who didn't bother to ask the right questions and never would have known what their kid was subjected to or exposed to, might be the better word, in school in some of those cases. It's true. And, you know, I heard Tanya say the so-called Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, which never had that phrase in it, interestingly enough. That was something that the opponents of that bill called it because they didn't like the fact that it gave parents rights to opt out of a lot of that garbage and keep their kids from being exposed to it. All right, coming up, we got to check a business for you. Then we'll get to in other news. A little later, we're going to talk to a St. Charles County parent who says she's experienced some of the problems with local health systems giving her 13-year-old the option to prevent her from seeing what kind of care they are receiving. We're going to get to that at about 7:45.
They are rebranding and renaming some of the athletic teams here. They're introducing today the SIUE 66ers.
All of us in college sports and professional sports are always trying to keep things fresh and fun for our athletes, for our fans, for our communities. So it's been on the mind for a while, and the connection to Route 66 is what's brought it to life.
What's in a name? Well, it can put you on the map, or it can become an important stop along the way. In the case of the Cougars, they'll soon switch to the 66ers.
I always say that tourism all starts with a visit. And you never know who might be sitting in the stands or listening on radio or TV about the 66ers brand and identity here at SIUE. And so you never know where it might go, but it's an exciting time.
I guess I'm a little confused by the whole thing. I saw this report on Fox 2 yesterday. At Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, I was just in Edwardsville last week, is suddenly switching its name from the Cougars to the 66ers. And I'm asking myself, well, there wouldn't be a PC reason for doing that unless there's some Cougar activist group that I don't know about who's suddenly offended that a team is named after a lion.
I think,
right?
The women who were called Cougars, I think they're the ones who are very
offended. You think they're
offended.
Banding together?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
According to the SIUE press release, they're announcing an alternate identity in celebration of the Route 66 centennial. So not every team will be called the 66ers, but at various times through the calendar year, the men's and women's basketball team will compete as the 66ers.
That's even dumber. First of all, it's not every team, and
it's not
second
every
of
game.
All, it's at various times. Tonight we're the 66ers. Tonight we're the Cougars. Like you said, I don't understand. There'd be no reason why Cougar that I can think of would be offensive.
Well, I don't.
So why the confusion now?
I don't think that's why. I think they're trying to promote Route 66,
but that's,
it's not like you're driving down Route 66 and you decide, hey, let's stop off at that college and pay it a visit. I don't think that's how that works. And I feel worse for the announcers, like who have to do play-by-play for SIUE, suddenly having to call them a different name after 40 years or 50 years, or however long they've been over there.
It's not even just that. They must have a schedule of, at tonight's game, they're the 66ers, but then tomorrow night, go back to the Cougars.
Could be. I wonder if
they even put that on there. I wonder if their schedule just says Cougars.
It's weird. It's just weird that they're just doing it for a year. I think that's going to be more confusing than anything else, but we'll see. Maybe it's like new Coke. We'll see what happens. Let's get to Nicole, please. Nicole Murray, happy Wednesday. How are you?
I'm hungry. How are you?
I'm always hungry at this hour. Are you kidding me?
I hear that. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Absolutely. Like when Kim was still pregnant with Hudson, she was bringing in like a cornucopia of food for herself every day. But not anymore.
Well, so. I have had beef sticks and a bar already.
Oh, have you?
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Okay.
I'm still hungry. Not as hungry. I was like a ravenous dog, though, when I was pregnant.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
You were thinking it.
I was not. I promise.
What is it, like an extra 10,000 calories or something you burn when making a baby when you're pregnant?
I don't know.
Like that?
But when you're nursing, that also makes you really hungry, too. So basically, you're just hungry all the time.
Girl, eat up.
Don't worry, I am.
There you go. Hey, what's going on in the business world? Is today the day that they announced the Fed announcement? Is that today?
Yes, they are. Well, I'll get to the specifics in a second.
Come on, Mark. Don't steal her thunder.
Yeah, don't steal my thunder. Okay, let's get to it. Futures are slightly lower. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 179. The NASDAQ up 30. The S&P 500 down 6. One of the world's largest rental car companies is getting into the trucking business. Clayton-based Enterprise Mobility has announced that it bought Hogan, the St. Louis-based commercial trucking and logistics company, which has more than 10,000 vehicles in its fleet. The deal will expand Enterprise's offerings to include van pooling, car sales, and investments. Self-driving taxi company Waymo has been laying the political groundwork for its planned expansion to St. Louis well before the news was announced last week. Waymo said it signed 4 Missouri-based lobbyists more than a month ago. The company also gave a presentation to Board of Aldermen President Megan Green and her staff. The Federal Reserve is poised to deliver its third straight interest rate cut later today, following a period of remarkable indecision about which way central bank policymakers would lean. Markets have settled on a 0.25 percentage point reduction. If that's the case, it will take the Fed's key interest rate down to a range of 3.5% to 3.75%. Australia has become the first country to ban social media for children under 16 years old. 10 of the largest platforms, including TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook, could face fines of up to $33 million under the new law if they do not comply. Oreos are getting a sugar-free option. Mondelez has announced that Oreo Zero Sugar and Oreo Double Stuffed Zero Sugar will go on sale in the U.S. in January. They are a permanent addition to the company's Oreo lineup. It's the first time Mondelez has sold sugar-free Oreos in the U.S. And finally, we've heard whispers of this new policy, and now it's official. Southwest Airlines has announced that its mandatory policy that requires plus-size passengers to buy 2 seats will go into effect January 27th.
Requiring them to buy. So before, I did something on this story in other news segment last week. If I understood it correctly, Southwest was one of the few airlines that if an oversized passenger showed up at the gate, they would give them a second seat if it was available. And they're ending that policy. Is that how you understand this?
Yes, that's how I understand it. And they're also going to be implementing measurement procedures at check-in to enforce it.
Wait, what?
Oh, my. There's no way.
No,
there's not somebody
standing there with a tape measure.
I mean, I don't know the specifics of how they're going to implement these measurement procedures, but no. it's coming.
The videos from airports are about to get a whole lot better. Can I just tell you that? I hope somebody's rolling the first time somebody says, excuse me, sir, could you step over here and turn around so I can measure your girth? Can you imagine what's going to happen?
Not only that, but let's say they are too big and they didn't purchase a second seat. Does that mean they can't get on the flight?
Well, yeah. What if it's a completely sold out flight?
Yeah, but I would say here, what about the person that has to sit next to them if they indeed are over into your space? I mean, that's not fair either. So I think they need to have. So I've thought for years they need to have some sort of common sense policy about this. Here's the thing: if you are plus sized, you know it. It's not a secret to anybody. Before you decide to fly, you should understand that you need two seats. If you need two seats, you should buy two seats. You may not like it, but you know, it's not the airline's fault that you're plus size, frankly, or the guy or gal sitting next to you.
Yeah, they said the main reason behind this policy is to make it more comfortable for other passengers. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair.
Good
for them. The other airlines never played that game. They're like, if you want a second seat, you have to pay for it.
You know, this is probably not an issue in Europe, because if you go to Europe, or really any other country for that matter, you don't see the amount of overweight people that you do here in the United States. It's very different. People walk everywhere. They ride their bikes. There's not a fast food restaurant on every single block.
Maybe it's because the government takes half their income and they can't afford to eat. What do you think? I'm just teasing. I'm just joking. All right, Nicole, we'll see you on Friday. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye. I'm just teasing.
Nicole's like, backpedal, backpedal,
I've spent a lot of time in Europe in the last couple of years. I've been fortunate enough to take a couple of trips over there. And you're right. You do not notice that there are some. Don't get me wrong. But in the places I've gone, you don't notice a lot of obesity. It's just like, not that I was looking for it, but I think... I just didn't notice it.
You know how airlines will have the little area where you can put your carry-on in and say, yeah, if it fits, then this is, you know, it's small enough to... So someone just put it in our text line. The airline will probably have a seat at check-in for seat measurements.
They already do that at theme parks.
Please have a
seat. Oh, you
do? Yeah, they do. At some of them, yeah.
So, but have okay, but here. It's not like everybody would be required to. So if you look overweight, would they say, hey... Sir, hey, ma'am, would you mind sitting here to make sure you'll fit? Or is it like you have to decide on your own that you're big enough and you might not fit? Who gets to make that determination?
I don't know, yeah, but I think Ethan's right. Somebody just, Richie wrote in here, it's just like the sign at the beginning of a roller coaster ride, you must be this tall to ride, right? You must be this size to fit in the airline seat and not overlap into the next person's space. So I don't know. I have to call it discrimination. Call it what you want. I think it's a good policy and probably long overdue. Carl Middleman used to have a great story when we flew to D.C. together one time. He got stuck in a middle seat between like two brothers who were both huge, and he's like, he is squeezed into this middle. It was a funny story, but I'm just saying it happens far too often on these flights. So there you go. Well, passenger bill of rights thing going the other direction, it sounds to me like. All right, coming up, we will get to another news. Next hour, we'll talk to Haley Hercules. She's a St. Charles County mom who has experienced this issue that, if you read the story on Channel 4, it says that it's misleading to say that BJC Healthcare revokes parents' access to their kids' medical records. But she claims she's experienced that exact issue. So we're going to get her on the air and let her explain what we're talking about here. And I don't think it can all be blamed on an app, which is what the hospital system is trying to do. We're going to get to all that for you coming up in just a minute.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
All right, one last comment in other news on the SIUE 66ers that they've announced. My friend, I don't want to think about this. Texted me and said, why do they call them the 6-7ers?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that would have made headlines, wouldn't it? Come on. My kid would have loved that. Kids would have flocked to SIUE to have 6-7er on their jersey.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That's old. Hey, by the way, a Texas truck driver, because everything's bigger in Texas, believes he has sighted Bigfoot walking down a highway near Garden Valley on November 18th, and it has sparked a new investigation by the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO. At least they didn't call it bro. They called it BFRO. The figure was 6 to 7 feet tall, dark brown, walking steadily toward the woods, seemingly unfazed by nearby traffic.
My brother-in-law is a big advocate for Bigfoot.
Just saying, East Texas. A lot of land out there for him to hide on. Could be.
All right. So listen to this. Martha Stewart says when she dies, she wants to be composted.
Gross.
Composted.
Composted. She says, when one of my horses dies, we dig a giant hole really deep in one of my fields. We have a pet cemetery, and the horse is wrapped in a clean white linen sheet and very carefully dropped down into this giant, lovely grave. I want to go there.
Like, I've seen that before where they just bear wrap you in a cloth and bury you and plant a tree on top of it, and your body nourishes the tree that grows over your head.
Well, the brand Miracle-Gro even jumped into the conversation saying, she really said being composted isn't going to hurt anybody, period. We're going to do the same thing.
Better a tree than a Martha Stewart souffle, don't you think? I'm just saying. Could be. Thought I'd let that hang out there. Anyway, the ACC has announced its decision on Notre Dame after the college football playoff controversy. And I saw a figure yesterday that couldn't have been right about how many millions of dollars this is going to cost. This is going to cost ESPN. It was like $35 million. I don't know how that could be true, that them skipping that game is going to cost ESPN that much money. But a lot of schools did it. I mean, there were 7 or 8 schools that declined to play in a bowl, which, of course, hurts ratings and hurts income and all of that stuff. Well, the ACC has a partnership with Notre Dame, but they're not officially part of the conference. And a lot of people say if Notre Dame wants to be taken more seriously, like if they're a conference champion and in the top 12, then they would have to be included, so there's pressure on them. So apparently the people at the ACC were a little mystified with Notre Dame's decision.
Tom Ackerman said he doesn't feel bad for Notre Dame.
Nope.
Told him to stop your whining.
Mr. I'm number one in the country, Hoosier.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay, we all know how annoying it is when your headlight goes out. Just one more thing you have to deal with. But some driver in Wisconsin was, I guess, sick and tired of that, didn't want to have to replace it. So got creative. We're going to call it creative. The sheriff's deputy ended up pulling over a driver going on the highway there for speeding. And turns out that driver had replaced the headlight with a handheld flashlight. It had been put in where the headlight would be
just
and
like
pointed forward.
Stuck into the hole where the headlight would be. And I didn't even know how they secured it. Thank goodness they pulled that idiot over.
The picture's hilarious because it was clearly very, very snowy. So it's already hard to see. And you have some idiot out there driving with a flashlight.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be better than driving without any lights.
Yeah, it's true.
Saw somebody in downtown St. Louis. I'm coming in here at, 420 the other day, coming through Market Street. And here comes a car right up 14th. Pitch black. No, probably just stolen it for all I know. I'm flashing my brights at them, trying to get them to realize they don't have any lights on. They didn't want any lights on. Probably lucky they didn't shoot at me.
Wow. I was going to say, it's too scary. Yeah.
Yeah. My first instinct was to flash my lights at them, and that was probably not very smart.
I'm scared to honk at people.
I know. You have to be. Coming up, we're going to get to Mary Vogt from Heritage. We'll get to Mom Haley Hercules from St. Charles County on BJC rules, she said, that would allow her 13-year-old to keep her from seeing her medical records. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.